Begin the current daf, Masechet Sanhedrin daf Ayin Tes. Begin four lines up from the bottom of the Amud at Ayin Chesmet Beis, where the Gemara continues in the next Mishnah, the series of these Mishnayos discussing the laws of murder, because that's one of the cases of Hanerogen, from those who get the death penalty of by the sword being beheaded, which is the case of Ritzeach, and the Mishnah continues qualifying this halacha. So the Mishnah describes a case where if a person is standing near an animal, and the assailant, the one who's coming out to kill, niskaman lahargas behemah, his intention is to kill the animal. But lahargas adam, and they were right near each other, and ends up killing the person. So in that situation, the Mishnah is going to tell us that the murderer is exempt. Because when even if the witnesses are warning him, which was a prerequisite for getting the death penalty, it's what's known as hasra safek. It's a doubtful warning. Because even if he accepted the warning, which is also part of the prerequisites, where he says, yes, I know that that person is a Jew, and it's with that intention that I'm shooting this shot, where if I kill him, I'll be liable for the death penalty, still he's going to be exempt because maybe he's not going to kill him. He's trying to shoot the animal, but the guy's right there. What are you doing shooting? Yeah, I know. So in spite of that, since his intention is to kill the animal, even if he kills the person, or let's say, you have two people, one's an idol worshiper standing right next to a Jew. His intention is to shoot the non-Jew, but they're like, there's a Jew right there. You might kill him. Yeah, I know. Will you be liable to death penalty? Yeah, I know. Or let's say, Linda Fulham, his intention is to kill a Nafel, which a Nafel is a child that's not viable, that was a baby that's not going to survive, where he's not chayiv if he kills a Nafel because it's like killing a dead person. But Vahargas Ben Kayama, right next to that baby, is a viable baby. And he ends up killing the Ben Kayama. Pati is going to be exempt in all these cases. Similar halacha, Niskaman Lahakwese al Mustam. Let's say he's out to injure somebody. And he wants to hit him on his loins, meaning by his thigh area. Vahoya Bukadela Misal Mustam. Now, the injury he was going to inflict on him was not enough to kill him in that area. But what he threw at him ended up not hitting him there. It hit him on by his chest, by his heart. And there was enough force to kill him in that area. Umes, and the person dies. Pati is going to be exempt because he was not intending to hit him there at the heart. He was intending to hit him there on his masnayim. So to niskaman lakwis alibi, let's his intention was to hit him on the heart. But as a continued top of Ayin Tesim and Aleph, v'hayibu kadeila hamas alibi, and even though that this rock, if it was going to hit him on the heart where he was trying to hit, it was enough to kill him over there. But v'hol chal al masnav, it didn't land over there. It went on his loins, on his thigh. Now, v'lahayibu kadeila hamas al masnav, it didn't have enough force to kill him in that area because that's more padded, that's more stronger over there. Umes, but still the guy died. In this situation too, which is the flip side, Pater, the assailant, is going to be exempt. And the reason for that is because there's two criteria that we need to have. One is that the intention of the assailant is to inflict a wound that's going to kill him. And moreover, that it should be that that will be such a wound that could kill. Where if his intention is not to do a makas misa, as we said, although when we're warning him, you know, it might go on the Jew, it's still hasra safek. Because when they're warning him, don't throw, it might not go on the Jew or on the heart. So in those situations, nachayiv. But even when he wanted to do it on the heart, but it ends up going on his masnaim, on his loins, since ultimately the makkah that hit the person, although he wanted to in that case to injure him, that should kill him, but where it hit didn't have enough generally to kill, although this guy did die, it's not enough. It has to be both his intention and that the actual makkah should be a makkah that could kill. Continues the Mishnah, and the Skavan Hakas is a god. If his intention was to hit an adult, now, V'lahoyi Bukadeil Hamas Agadla did not have enough force to kill the adult. But V'halchal Al-Katan, what he threw, ended up hitting a child. V'lahoyi Bukadeil Hamas Agadla had enough to kill a child. Umes, and the child dies. As we said, Pate is exempt. Because although this was he propelled something that could kill, but that was only for a child. His intention was for the adult. So he did not have an intention of Makas Mesa. Let's say Niskaven Lahakas Akadla, he intended to throw something at a child. Had enough to kill a child. So he had the kavana. That's one of the two criteria. But and ended up instead going hitting an adult. Now, did not have enough to kill an adult. Umes, an adult dies, however, although generally an adult would not. Pater is exempt because you're missing the other criterion, which is this maka did not really have enough to kill. Although the guy did end up dying, but that's not something because of the assailant, it's something because of the victim. It's his own predisposition that made him vulnerable, and therefore he's going to be exempt. Aval, but says the Mishnah, let's say he intended to hit the person by his loins. Now, even had enough force to kill him if it would hit him on the loins. Let's say a gunshot. Now, it had enough to go, it ended up going on the heart and killing him there. Well, then there is going to be chayiv. Because there you had both. He intended to do an injury that would kill. Now, where it ended up going on, it also had enough to kill for sure, which is on the heart. Now, although it's not where he intended it to go, but he had both criteria. Niskam al-Hakas as a god, let's say he intended to hit an adult. V'hayibakadelim as a god, had enough to injure to kill the adult. But v'halchal al-Kad, instead it went on the minor, or Mason the minor died. Chayiv v'chayiv, because there also, although it wasn't exactly where you tried shooting it, but it had both criterion. Your intention was to kill, and moreover, the actual thing that was being propelled had enough to kill, no matter if it was an adult or a minor, and there is going to be chayiv. That's the Tanakam. Shimon, I mean, he says, "Afil neskam al-harag azeh." Even if someone intended to kill someone, v'harag azeh, and still kills someone else, pater is going to be exempt. It has to be the person that you intended to kill that ends up getting killed. It's not enough to have both criteria. It also has to be the individual that you tried to kill. Now, the Gemara asks Reb Shimon Ahaya, on which halacha of the Tanakam is Reb Shimon going on? Ilei ma'aseifa, if you would think there's going to seifa, which simple reading would seem to indicate that, first of all, it always usually goes back on what was said right before. And moreover, it seems to be that that's what he's disagreeing about. Tanakama says that if someone intended to injure an adult, and the seder goes on the minor, and the minor dies, says the Tanakama is going to be chayim. Because you see that you have both criterion, he intended to kill, and had enough in that force to kill. But what you see from Tanakama is, even though he intended to kill the adult, but it went and killed someone else, which was the minor, so then you're going to be chayiv. On that, Reb Shimon was disagreeing. He says, no, even though you had both criteria, it has to be the exact person that you intended to kill. On that, as the Gemara, Reb Shimon paid to me by the way. Then all the words the Mishnah should have said, instead of saying this whole sentence, Reb Shimon, Eimer, Afil Niskam L'Argazev, Argazev Pata, he should have just said, it should have said, Reb Shimon paid, Reb Shimon exempts. Because the case was explicitly mentioned by the Tanakama. Why does Reb Shimon have to go ahead and explain it all over again? And moreover, why is he saying the words afilu as if he's saying a whole chiddush? You're going right back on what the Tanakama said. Rather says the Gemara Arisha. Actually, Reb Shimon is going back on the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah, the Tanakama said, "Niskam al hargis a behema." If someone intended to kill an animal, hargis adam ended up killing the person who is right next to the animal. Or la'ivik kachav hargis Israel. He intended to kill the non-Jew, and he ended up killing the Jew who was right next to him. Or a sniper is trying to kill, he kills a Jew. Then the Falam Hargis Ben Kayyam intended to kill the Nephil, killed the viable child. Said the Tanakama, Potter, so then the assailant's going to be exempt. Now, the inference from the Tanakama is, Honiskam al Hargazet. But if let's say he intended to kill this person, and he was warned regarding this Jew, which was a definite warning, but Vaharig Ezet, then he ended up killing another Jew. So chayiv, it sounds like from the Tanakama, that then you're going to be chayiv. Because there the warning was on a ben bris, on a Jew. And he intended to kill a Jew. And he killed a Jew. So then, says the Tanakama, you're going to be chayiv. If you intended to kill an animal, or an idol worshiper, or a nafel, and then you kill a Jew, okay, then you're not going to be chayiv. Because that's asra safik. Here it's a definite asra, he wants to kill a Jew. Say, hey, you're going to be chayiv. I don't care. And then he killed a different Jew? That's inferred from the Tanakama, you're going to be chayiv. On that, Reb Shimon, no, that Reb Shimon was saying that no, afil neskam al haragazeh, baharagazeh, patur. Even if he intended to kill a Jew, and he was warned, and he killed a different Jew, he's going to be exempt. Now, Rashi points out the obvious question, so we understand why it doesn't just say Reb Shimon patur, and it says over the whole case, because he's going back on the ratio of the Mishnah, but why does Reb Shimon leave the explicit case of the Sefer, which is saying the same thing, and instead he goes, and he has to disagree on the diuk of the ratio? And that, says Rashi, is the reason why it can't say Reb Shimon Paiter, because then it would sound like it's going back on all the cases of the Mishnah, meaning it would sound like, which is the parallel of this case, but the only fundamental difference is that it would be going on one person, which was Niskaven al-Masnav, v'hochel al-Liboy. Let's say someone threw something that could kill, and he intended to kill, on his Masnayim. And instead, it didn't go on his loins, it went on his heart, where it could kill, and he did kill. Now, if Reb Shimon said Paiter, it would sound like he holds that it has to be exactly where you threw it. Now, that's not the case. It has to be on the person that you intended for. And that's his words, why he had to say over the whole thing, Niskaven l'Hargazeh, v'Hargazeh, Pater, because it has to be that person, as we'll see in the Brisa. But not that it has to be exactly where you did it. And therefore, on one person, where he intended for the misnayim, it went on the lave, had we said Yerushim Impater, we would have thought they're also Impater. Therefore, it says no, it's regarding people, different individuals, and therefore, in that case, Yerushim would agree that you're going to be chayiv. It's only in this case, when it's different people, then he holds you're going to be Pater. Now, the Gemara explains Pshita, it's obvious, Koi Reuven v'Shimon. Let's say Reuven and Shimon are standing near each other. Vamar, and this sniper, this assailant, says, Anola Reuven kamachavna. I'm intending to kill Reuven. L'Shimon lo kamachavna. I'm not intending to kill Shimon. Well, Haina Plaktai, that's the case of the Machlekes of Shimon and the Tanakama, when there's Neskav and the Har Gazeh, if that's considered that you could execute him for having killed a Jew, either way, Chacham say, yeah, Shimon holds not. But Amar, let's say he says, L'chad minayu. For one of them I'm intending. I don't care which one. I want to kill one of them. My, what's Allah in that situation? According to Rabbi Shimon, would that be considered intending for a Jew and he'd be chayiv? Or maybe do you say that no? Since if it ended up killing the other one, which would leave this guy alone, he would also be okay, because at least I kill one of the two. I don't care which one. I hate both. I want to kill one of them. So that you can't call that misgavin. You can't call that he was intending for this guy, because if it would hit the other one, he would be okay also. That's question number one. Question number two is inami, or let's say he's intending to kill that body. He knows where he's shooting at. But Kisava Reuven, he thinks that's Reuven. Venimsa Shimon, turns out that's not the guy he thought it was. It turns out it was Shimon. My, what would the halacha be over there? Do we say since he intended to kill this body, it's considered intending for that person, therefore he's chayv? Or maybe do we say that no, since he did not intend for that person, Reb Shimon would hold that in that case he'd be exempt. So the Gemara says, Tashma, come in here, we could answer both questions. The Tanakh, Linda, Bryce, Reb Shimon, he says that the liability would only be ad sheyem, until he says, leplayni ani miskaven, I'm intending to kill that person. And he ends up killing that person, that's when he's going to be chayv misa. Now, however, in the case when he says for one of them, he didn't designate which one. And so too, when in the case when he thought it was Reuven, turns out to Shimon, that's not that person that he thought it was. And in those two cases, Reb Shimon would hold that the individual would be pater, you're not chayiv, until you intend for that person to kill that person. So as the Gemara, my time with Reb Shimon, what's the reason for Reb Shimon's opinion? Says the Gemara, Amakrak, as the Pasuk says in Devarim, V'aravloi, that he waited in ambush for that person, which is superfluous, because the Torah, all it should say is, as it says there in the Pasuk, is Kiyir Ishayna L'Re'ehu, if someone was an enemy to a person, he gets up and he kills him, so then he's chayiv for what he had done, and V'kamalav, and then he gets up and he does the crime, so he's liable. Why does it say V'aravloi, that he waited in ambush, which seemingly is superfluous, to teach us, Achei Skabanloi, says Reb Shimon, until he intended for that person, only then is he going to be chayiv. If he intended for one Jew and he'll kill another Jew, then he's pater. Now, the Rabbanan who disagree with Reb Shimon, what do they expound from that extra word for aravloi? So, Amar de Reb Yannai, they said in the Shiva Reb Yannai, it's prat lezurik evin legoy. It's excluding a case of when he throws a rock into a group of people which have Jews and non-Jews. Now, however, in the situation where if he intends to kill one Jew and he kills another Jew, that's the Rabbanan, that's not what the Pasuk is excluding, because that they hold that you're going to be chayiv. But when he throws it into a group of people where the Jews and non-Jews, because it was all Jews, obviously, it's like trying to kill one Jew and kills another Jew. But if those in the group of people, Jews and non-Jews, ends up killing a Jew, that's where the Rabban agree, that's where the Pasuk teaching you, it has to be Arvloi, which is seemingly focused trying to kill this person, that's if it ends up killing a Jew in that situation, although very likely it might be, he's going to be pot. So asking Mehechadami, according to Rabbanan, that they're learning out that this word V'arvloi is coming to exclude, what is this case of throwing a rock into a group of people? If it's told about that there's 9 non-Jews and 1 Jew amongst them, and that's what the pasuk is coming to say, that he's going to be exempt, I don't need a pasuk for that. Typically, the ruba kutim nino. That, of course, that should be the halacha, because the majority are non-Jews. Why would I need a pasuk? We always go after the raiv, and the majority are non-Jews. And inami palga palga, even if it's 50-50, 5 Jews and 5 non-Jews, I still don't understand why would it need a pasuk to exempt. But since you could say that his intention would be for the non-Jew, you should say that he's exempt. Why? Maybe say that his intention is for the Jew. Because safek nefash is lahakal. There's a halacha that when it comes to executing a person, we go leniently when there's a doubt regarding if we should kill him, as the Gemara says in Yuma with Pidal Mabez from Vihitzilu Eid, as we said earlier in this Masechta too, that there's an obligation to try to save the person and say, no, there's reason to believe that he's not liable, and therefore we're not going to say that he's guilty. So here, when it's 50-50, there's no indicator either when, why would we need a pasuk to say he's exempt? Says the Gemara, Lo Yitzricha, you're right. The requirement of this pasuk is the Ikar Tishi Yisrael v'kuti echad b'neihem. There's actually 9 Jews and 1 non-Jew amongst those 9 Jews. And then that's what the pasuk is teaching. Even in that case, the assailant is going to be exempt. Why? Because the Havalei Kuti Kavua, this non-Jew is established amongst the group of people. He's there. They're positioned in one place, in one group. Now, what we learn from the pasuk is that the chol kavua, whatever is permanently stationary at this moment, it's not going to be judged any less than kemechtza mechtzadami, than the 50-50. Although really it's 9-1, we're going to view it as 5-5. And therefore, as we said before, when you have 50-50, you go and you say, safek nefashas l'hakel, because we don't know either way, there's no indicator either way, it's 50-50. And actually, it's from this halacha that we learn that, which is mentioned many times in Shas, the halacha, what's known as kol kavua, whatever is permanent, whatever is stationary, is kemechtza mechtza, it's like 50-50. Now, Rashi points out, we cannot say over here and learn out that actually whatever is kavua is kerubadami, which is, that's why we say, oh, the majority is actually kutim. We can't say that because where would we know that from? Maybe the reason why, as the Gemara is saying, why we say the assailant is exempt is because of safek nefash l'hakel. And we don't consider the majority of the 9 Jews as the full majority. Rather, we consider it as 50-50. Because if it wasn't 50-50, then it wouldn't be safek nefash l'hakel, and why would it be exempt? But the majority are Jews. And the Rabbanah hold that when you intend to kill one Jew and you kill another Jew, you're chayiv. So obviously it's because we're not considering it a majority of Jews. How not? It's of course since it's kavua, since that one non-Jew is there, when it leaves the place, and then we go after the laws of majority. When it's there, so the odds are that when it's kavua, it could be that one. That's the Talmudic halacha of kol kavua is kemechtza mechtza dami, which is that since it's stationary, each one can be the one, and then we don't go after the same laws of proportion. And since the 50-50, when it's going to be one person that's going to be killed, it might very well be just that non-Jew as it is that other Jew, whether there's another one Jew, two Jew, three Jews, we view it as an equal suffix. And therefore, again, that's what the pasuk is coming to teach us, that halacha, that even when there's 9 Jews and 1 non-Jew, he's going to be exempt. Now, the Gemara asks, based on this machlokes that we have in our Mishnah, Bishlam al-Rabban al-Da'amri, we could understand, as we're going to quote, according to the Rabbanan, who they say, as they say in the Mishnah, if someone intended to kill one Jew, and instead he kills a different Jew, he's liable for the death penalty. We could understand the following passage that says in Shemais. It says, v'chiyinatsu anashim, when men are fighting, and v'nogfu ishahara, and in the fight there was a pregnant woman who was walking by, and she gets injured because of their fight. Now, v'amar b'lazer, b'lazer had said, b'matzo shebemisa kasam adaba. The Torah is talking about over here that the fight they're having was a fight to the death, and that is, he was intending to kill his friend. Now, the chsiv, the pasuk says after that, it says, im osin ye, if an unfortunate death happened, so b'nesata nefesh tachas nefesh. So you have to give a life in place of the life, which is that if someone ended up killing the pregnant woman who was walking by, so then the assailant gets the death penalty. Now, if he was not intending to kill, how could we execute him? That obviously it's talking about that he intended to kill, and that's why he's going to be chayiv. Even though he did not intend to kill the pregnant woman, he intended to kill only the one he was fighting with. As it says, v'chiyinatsu anoshim. So we understand the halacha, yeah, because you in the skav and har gezeh, you chayiv. El Reb Shimon, but according to Reb Shimon, hayiv nesata nefesh tachas nefesh mayavli. What's he going to do with the pasuk? How does he understand? What do you mean? If he ends up killing the woman, is he liable for death penalty? Why? That's in skav and har gezeh, he says it's potter. Says the Gemara, when it says, v'nesata nefesh tachas nefesh, it doesn't mean that you take the guy's life. It means mammon. It means he has to give money in place of the value of the woman who was killed. He has to give that value to her yarshim, to her inheritors. Or could Rabbi actually teaches the pasuk like this? The time like Linda Bryce, Rabbi Emi says, when it says in the pasuk, v'nesata nefesh tachas nefesh, that okay, you end up killing the pregnant woman, you have to go ahead and give a life in place of that life. It means mammon, you have to give the monetary value of a life. I mean, as a person's worth as a slave being sold in the marketplace. Says Rabbi, do you really say it means money? Maybe it means literally life. Meaning you have to kill the person who ended up killing the pregnant woman instead of the one he was fighting with. And that says Rabbi, no. Because Nemr Nesina Lamata, it says Nesina in the Pasuk down. V'nemr, it says as you continue to Amid Beis, which is the other Pasuk, as it says Nesina Lamala, meaning the Sinai Lamata was the pasuk which says in our pasuk it says v'nesata nefesh tachas nefesh. Now there's a pasuk earlier there in Shmais Chavav that says lo yia asin, if there was no unfortunate, meaning the pregnant woman herself does not die, but she miscarried the fetuses. So it says v'nasan beflil, he has to pay with the judges, the demei vladis. Namala halal mama, just like over there when it says he has to give beflilim, what is he giving? He's not giving his life for the fetuses that were lost. He gives money. Afkan mama, here also when it says v'nesata nefesh tachas nefesh, it means money. So that is the how Reb Shimon would interpret that pasuk when because of his opinion that he holds that neskam al haragazeh bar gazeh yipater. And Amar Rava, Rava says, Hayditana bechizkiah, this brisa of the Yeshiva of Chizkiah that we're going to quote shortly, mafkim in the Rebbe or mafkim in the Rabbanan. He disagrees with both the two opinions that we just discussed of the Rabbanan, who they say that when you intend to kill one person, you kill another person, that you are liable for death penalty. And he also disagrees with Rebbe, who says that, okay, even though you're not chayiv misa, but you're chayiv money, whereas as we'll see in the Tana bechizkiah, that you're not chayiv not money and not misa when you intended to kill one and killed another one. The Tana bechizkiah, like we learned in Yeshiva, the Brisa Yeshiva of Chizkiah. Pasuk in Vayikra says, Maki Adam Umaki Behema, which the Pasuk there actually says in full, in Vayikra Chavdal Chafal, it says, Umaki Behema Yishalman. If someone kills an animal, he has to pay for that damage. Umaki Adam Yumasim, if someone kills a person, he gets killed. Now, why does the Pasuk put when someone kills an animal in the same Pasuk as killing a person? It's coming to make a comparison between the two halachas. Because the Pasuk sounds like that it tells you that when someone kills an animal, he's liable for the monetary payments. Whereas, by a person, he's going to be exempt from the monetary payments. Because it says, Makabhemi Shalmena. Only when you kill an animal do you pay, but not when you kill a person. And the Pasuk is equating the exemption of monetary payment of killing a person to the obligation of the monetary payments of an animal. How so? Says the Brisa of Bechizkiah, Ma make behema, just like when someone kills an animal. Loi chalakta ba, you don't differentiate. Bein shaygig lameza, whether if the one who killed the animal did it by mistake, did it deliberately. Bein miskaven, whether he intended, which later on the Gemara is going to explain what does that mean. That sounds like being bemazed. L'shein miskaven, to doing it unintended. Bein derech irida, whether if he was killed it by on his way down, or derech aliyah, or whether on his way up, which actually, as Rashi points out, that variable is not pertinent regarding killing an animal. It's only because the flip side of when someone kills a person, there we find that there is a difference in regarding when someone kills by mistake. If he kills on his way down the ladder, then he's liable for gullus. But if actually he kills by mistake on his way up, let's say lifting up his hand, he lifts up an axe and he kills a person, he's actually exempt from gullus, as the Pasuk says in Mimel Lama Hey. It's only Vayipal Lava Yamas. If he falls and he kills a person, then he's chayv, which is only a way of falling, but not on the way up. That's why he just mentions it in the contrast of Makkah Behema. But either way, says the Braisa, that it doesn't make a difference how you kill the animal. There's no differentiation, lepatre mamet, to exempt him from money. In other words, there's never going to be a situation to exempt a person from his liability of monetary payment regarding an animal. Ella, rather, in all situations, lechayve mamet, there's always going to be a liability for having killed the animal. As the Gemara Baba Kama Nav Chavavim Beis says, that a person is always liable for damages from the pasuk petza tachas patza, which is, even if he did it by mistake, it's the same as if he did it deliberately. If it was done beyond his control, it's like he did it willingly, and killing an animal is a case of monetary damages of another person's property. So that's what the Hekesh is teaching us, af maki adam, so too when someone kills a person. That loy tachlik by, that you should not differentiate, in other words, that you're not going to have, regarding the halacha of being exempt from monetary payment, any differentiation, bein shagig lemezu, whether if someone killed a person by mistake, or deliberately, bein miskam l'shem miskam, where he intended or he did not intend, bein derech eridu, derech li, whether on his way down, whether on his way up, L'chayev imam, and that there should ever be a situation that he'll be liable to pay monetary payment. Ella, rather, every situation, every time, will be l'patre imam, that he'll be exempt from the monetary payment. Whether if he does it by mistake and he did not intend, where he's exempt from the death penalty, or whether when he did it deliberately and he intended to, where he is chayev misa, either situation, we're learning out that just like by makah behemah yishalmena is always yishalmena, by makah adam, which is yumas, which is never going to be yishalmena. Now, on that, the question is, as we alluded to earlier, Maisha ein meskaven. What does this mean when you say that he did not intend? Ile mesha ein meskaven klav, it means that he did not intend at all to kill the person. Well, hainu shogi, that's exactly the category of doing it without intending. That's what shogi means. El b'shita, rather, it's obvious. What does it mean, she'ein meskaven? She'ein meskaven lazeh, el lazeh. No, it wasn't totally unaware. It means he did not intend to kill this person, but rather this person. V'ktani, and we learned, l'chai v'imamin, there's never going to be a situation when you're going to hold him liable to pay, ela l'patri mamin, but rather, you're always going to be exempt from paying. So we see that according to the Braisa Bechizkia, that there's always going to be an exemption from paying monetary payment. Now, so you can't, so he doesn't hold like Rebbe, which hold that there's going to be nefesh tachas nefesh, in the case of niskav l'har gezev har gezev yechayiv mamon, he doesn't agree with that. Moreover, you're obviously not chayiv mitzvah in that situation, from the fact that the pasuk had to say that you're going to be exempt from paying monetary payment, which is what the pasuk is coming to teach us according to the Hekesh, which is comparing to maki behema, to maki adam, to say just like maki behema always pays, maki adam never pays, what do we mean never pays? If v'ibar katalahu, if it was talking about a case where he's liable for death penalty, why would we need a pasuk to exempt from monetary payment? We know always when a person is getting killed, he's getting executed. Kimle b'damne tells us he's not chayv for monetary payment. Rather, it's obvious that the pasuk is talking about the lav bar katalahu. It's talking about a situation where he's not liable for death penalty, and yet still it's teaching us of a lav bar mamaynahu, and he's still not going to be liable for the monetary payment. So we see that in the case of niskav l'hargezev hargezeh, which is the only situation that we can then explain, which Tan Bechizki is saying that you're not going to be chayv misa, again, not like the chacham, and still the pasuk is teaching us you're not going to be chayv mamon either. Because that we know from the complete comparison to Maki Behema one way, Maki Adam the other way. And therefore, that's not like Rebbe, where Chacham holds Yechayiv Misa, Rebbe holds Yechayiv Mamon, and Tan Bechizki holds Yechayiv Chayiv for anything when it was in Sikab and Lahar Gezeh, Vahar Gezeh. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing on the theme of these Mishnayos regarding murder. Ritzech Shenis Arv Bacher, if a murderer gets mixed into a crowd of other people, which we must explain who are these others. Says the Tanakhama, Kulam Baturin, so they're all exempt. We can't kill them because we don't know who's the murderer, so they're all exempt. Behudami, he disagrees. He says, no, Kainsen Eisan Lakipa, we gather them all into a jail cell, and there we feed them barley until their stomachs burst, and they die, as the Gemara teaches later on in the Mishnah of Pe'alav Mabes. Continues the Mishnah. Kol Chiva Misish and Isarva Zebezeh, all people that are going to be executed, but they're liable for different death penalties, different death rows, some skila, some srefa, some kherik, some chenik. They get mixed in one with the other. Says the Mishnah, nidayin mikala, so they get judged based on the most lenient death penalty from all those who are mixed in, because since you can't identify who is liable for which death penalty, they all got mixed in now, and who's for the more lenient one, you cannot be more stringent on the one who is supposed to get the more lenient one and now judge him on a more severe death penalty. So they're all going to get the most lenient death penalty. Now, so therefore the ramifications of that actually is a machlikis, as we mentioned in the previous Mishnah. And the skullam and the srafin. If let's say someone who's liable for the death penalty of being stoned gets mixed into a majority of people that were supposed to get srefa. In other words, someone from one death row escaped and he ran into another group of people who are the nisrafin. Now, although the majority of them are nisrafin, because that's what the wording sounds like, niskalim bin nisrafin. It sounds like that there's one person who's supposed to get the death penalty of being stoned, who got mixed into a whole group of people that's supposed to get the death penalty of being burnt. Even so, Reb Shimon Naima, he says, nidainin biskila. They all now are going to get judged only with the death penalty of being stoned. Shasreif v'chamur, because Reb Shimon holds, and this is what we learned in the previous Mishnah, that the most severe is the death penalty of being burnt. Now, so although the majority are Sreifa ones, you don't go after the majority because now one of them is a Skila person and we can't give him Sreifa, so now everybody gets the low one of Skila. Now, Vachamim, they disagree, according to their opinion. They say, no, Nidonim is Sreifa. Everyone gets judged the lower one of Sreifa, Shaskila Chamur, because actually Skila is the more severe. So the only one that's being changed over here is the Skila guy, but he says everyone gets Sreifa because that's the lesser of the two. Now, Amalim Rishim responds to them and he says, wait. How can you say that skila is more severe than srefa? Ila lo haitza srefa chamura, were it not that srefa was the most severe death penalty, it would not have been given to a daughter of a kohen who's mizana, who that's a very severe avera, because she desecrates her father, like the Gemara said on Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph, that now suddenly everyone treats the father who's a kohen in a mundane way. They disgrace him. It must be a huge avera, and you see over there that it's srefa. So Amalei, they said to him and back, what? Ilul ha'isa skila chamur. They said, if were it not that skila was the most severe death penalty, that would not be given to the blasphemer and to the idol worshiper, where that's a pretty severe aver, because that's going against straight Hashem, cursing God, doing avodah zarah. So obviously those, where you get skila, that's obviously because skila is the more severe. Similar machlokes, Reb Shimon and Rabbanan, is in the lower two categories. The lower category, which is the last two, hanerogin benechnokin. If those who are liable to get the death penalty are being beheaded with those who are supposed to get choked to death, so Reb Shimon, he says, besayif, they all get the death penalty of being beheaded because he holds chenek is mochamer. But chachamim, chenek, they say, no, everyone gets chenek because they hold saif is mochamer, as the Gemara explained their reasoning in Perek Arba Mises. Now, the Gemara asks, going back to the beginning of the Mishnah, where it said that a murderer gets mixed with acherim, they're all exempt, whereas Rabbi Huda says, no, you put them into some cage and you feed them barley and they all die that type of death. So ask the Gemara, man acherim, who are these others? Ilim acherim ksherim, if you think it means to say someone escaped Rikers Island, he's supposed to be executed, he runs into a group of regular people, pedestrians, and that's where the Chacham is saying, the Tanakham is saying, oh, they're all exempt. Says Gemara Pshita, obviously, how can you execute all these innocent people because one murderer who's mixed in? Now, Vesu, moreover, what would make it difficult to say that Acherim means Acherim Ksherim is Baholem Rabbi Huda Kainz Nois Lekiba. Rabbi Huda disagrees on the Tanakam and says, no, you take that whole group of people and you put them in the cage and you wait till their stomach bursts and they all die. How could that be? How could you take a whole group of innocent people and let them die that gruesome death because of the one murderer who got mixed in? So what does it mean when it says Nisar Bacherim with this machlekes on the common Rabbi Huda? So the Gemara says Simin Bashrak, which is the names of the Amiram who give different answers to answer this question. So Amr Bevomer Shmuel, he says, Hacha Beritzeach Shalei Nigmer Dina. What we're talking about over here is regarding a murderer who the verdict was not handed down yet. Now, he knows his end is near. He quickly flees. And where is he going to go? He gets mixed into a group of people of murderers. That's what we're talking about, where their verdict was already passed. They're on the bus already, taking them to the death house to be executed. Now he runs out. Where does he go? He jumps onto a bus. Now no one's saying anything. We don't know who's who. So the bunch of murderers that are about on the bus to get executed, another one who's also a murderer, but the verdict wasn't handed down yet. Rabbanan Sabbath, they hold that there's a technical problem over here. Ain Goyman Dina Shal Adam El Bafanam. We cannot hand down the verdict unless the person's in front of us. Now, since we don't recognize him, even if we took the whole busload of people, put them in the court, we can't say that's considered in front of him because we don't know who he is. We have to know and identify who he is. So the Chum say, look, on the technicality, they're all exempt because we can't kill them all because one person here, in a sense, is innocent because although he's obviously a murderer, they were about to hand down the verdict. But technically, the verdict wasn't handed down, and one of them is an unfinished case, and therefore you can't kill any of them. Whereas Rabbi Huda, Miftarinu Legami Namila. But Rabbi Huda says, no, we can't let them all go. Even the Reitzchininu, they're all murderers. Because even the one guy who didn't have the verdict handed down yet, they already had the testimony, the judges, the lawyers already rested the case, the judge is about to come out from his chambers to hand down the verdict. We all know he's going to say he's guilty. It just didn't get him. It's just on a technicality. So, but they're all murderers. So Hilkach Kainz and Leisim Lekipah. Now, so we can't execute them because ultimately one guy cannot be executed, who is the one guy who ran away. The others are supposed to be executed. So what we do is we put them in this passive way and let them die that way, but we can't let any of them die because even the murderers, we'll see in later Mishnah, when we can't execute based on a technicality, that's what we do anyway, and therefore that would apply in this situation where these guys have to be executed and this guy has to have, anyways, ultimately be killed. So you put them all together in this kippah. However, Shlakish Amr, he says that no, he disagrees with this interpretation. He says, but Adam, regarding the case that was just described, we have a person that's a murderer mixed amongst other people, other Reitzchim. The Kul Amalei Pliga de Petir, he says, no one would disagree that, like the way the first interpretation says with the Pinach HaChamim, that they're all going to be let off the hook. Because since ultimately there is one that did not have a Gemar Din, so there's no greater proof to find a way to vindicate. Because the Torah tells us, v'tzilu eidah, we have, ultimately, even if there's the smallest fraction of a reason to exempt someone, we do. That's what v'tzilu eidah is. That's the type of judicial system we have. So therefore, ultimately, there's no Gemar Din. Now, there's one guy here and this whole busload of guys that didn't have Gemar Din. So you can't kill anyone. He says, no, everyone would agree that you would let them off the hook. Aval hacha, but the case we're talking about in our Mishnah, is b'shor shalei nigmar din. We're talking about an axe that did not have its verdict handed down yet. They got mixed with other oxen. It was a busy day in the court, a lot of gorings going on, people being killed, the oxen have to be executed, and there's a whole group of her that waiting to be killed, and there's one ox who, it wasn't finished yet, and he ran off and got mixed in that whole crew. That's the Machlekes in our Mishnah. Rabbanan Savi Kemisas Bailam Kach Misas Hashar. There's halacha that teaches us when it says Vegambal of Yumas, which you know the owner of the ox who gored and killed does not get killed. So what does it say Vegambal of Yumas? To teach us that to compare the laws of executing its owner is the same laws as executing the ox. Now, Ve'ingar Medina Shal Sharel Bafanov. Now, just like we say you don't kill a person until he's in front of you, so too you don't kill an ox until he's in front of you. So Hilkach Batur. So they all the ox not going to be exempt. But Behuda Savi held that no, in this situation, unlike a human being, he says, no, in that regard, we're not going to give the same exemption as the owner. Rather, regarding an animal, we're going to take all the animals, anyways, some were supposed to be stoned. This one who did not have the Gemara Din yet, so although we're not going to actively kill it, but we're going to put them all into that kippah, into that cage, and give them barley and wait till their stomachs bust. That's the halacha of our Mishnah, where it was Nisar Bacherim that Rabbi Huda says that kindlessly keep them. But in regards to a human, that says Rasakish that no one would disagree that they're all going to be exempt because there's a special halacha betzilo eda. You're right, based on the halacha, of course they're all murderers, of course the oxen should die. But regarding people, he disagrees in saying that, like the first interpretation, that we would put them into a kippah because there, even Rabbi Huda would agree that Tzilo Eda is telling us that we should do all in our power to save them, and since a technicality, we let them all go.